Can't you see it? The world running on EVs and renewable energy? Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Get in there tight. I want to look you in the eye. Let's go. Everybody.
Hey, man. These moments don't come back around all the time. They just don't. They're fleeting. They're here today and they're gone tomorrow. Take advantage of it. This game is going to be won in the deep water. What do I mean in the deep water? Everybody's comfortable in the shallow end with 2 feet on the ground. All right? We live in the deep water. We live in the deep water where it's uncomfortable, where it hurts a little bit. That's where we live. And I'm not talking about playing hard. Everybody talks about playing hard. I'm talking about draining your guts. I'm talking about from the bottom of your feet. I'm talking about seeing sparks in your eyes, and it hurts. I'm talking about straining for that logo on the side of your helmet and not the name on your back.
Yes, sir.
Because we know what it represents. It represents everybody here you see and everybody you can't that we've talked about. I'm here to strain with you, man. I swear to God, I'm here to strain with you. Let's go. Everything you got, strain with everything you got.
Let's go. Let's go.
Bills on three. One, two, three.
Legend of the game
for tomorrow.
Hold that thought. I'm going to run through a
Kyle
brick
Williams.
Wall real quick after
yes.
that. Yeah. Oh, my God.
We'll dismiss Joe to go do that. He can go get up and do that. Why? Because we've got a little mini roundtable going on here today for Sports Talk Saturday with Bills and Broncos tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock. Typically, we have this segment here as the Bandit season has begun here and they go off to a 4-0 start. We have Trevor Howard here. We are not going to do the regular scheduled programming today. Like I said, I kept one tradition, and that's what we had to do. Like, otherwise, we're a lawless civilization. That said, I'm not going to be able to hold up that end of the bargain with the Bandits here today because I think I'm just all too hopped up on playoffs start tomorrow for the Bills. Playoffs start today in about 4 hours.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah, some good games on the docket, as we've talked about.
We'll hit up the Bandits for a little quick blurb at 12:50.
Mm-hmm.
So we're abandoning and eschewing some traditions today. The booty cheek of the week had to stay because that's just a thing that we do.
Mm-hmm.
Busted. Busted.
Busted.
Ha, ha, ha.
Trevor was one of those with us, by the way,
yeah,
for that fun little story.
A rookie
intern was yes.
CND player.
Yeah. Yes, you had the rookie experience, and then you had your boss making fun of you. So there you go.
It was complete. The night was complete.
That's full circle right there.
Love it.
Bills.
Circle of life. I heard you guys mentioning the Lion King.
Yeah, again.
So that's a circle of life moment.
Yes.
Bills, Broncos, Battlestar Galactica.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah,
Shroot Farms.
I
playoff football.
I'm excited because again, this has been 2 months waiting for me, of relative inaction, where we knew where the Bills comfortably were for the better course of 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
We knew where they were going to be. There were slight little chatters about, hey, could they steal one seed, and then the rest of the NFL did not cooperate.
One team in the NFL did not cooperate.
No, the rest of the league did. Not quite.
Oh, yeah, right, because they technically sold those. Because
you could have beat them.
Right. Yeah.
Waiting for 2 months.
Any one of those ding-dongs could have beat them.
Mm-hmm.
Including tomorrow's opponent, Denver Broncos.
Yep.
They lost on a blocked field goal to the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, any one of these goofballs could have beaten the Chiefs, and they didn't. The Bills did. But they were very comfortably a 2-seed for the longest time, so we had to end up engaging in toxic discussions about something. I will say this. I'm impressed with what the Denver Broncos have done this season based on how they've been doing it. They have built from the trenches out two of the better lines in the National Football League. When it comes to their defensive line and their defense as a whole, they have the most sacks in the league. Their offense only gave up 24 for the entire season. In the trenches, Buffalo does have a little bit of a counter. You're looking at the best team in the league at avoiding sacks, and not surrendering them against a defense that did it the most this year. That is strength versus strength, and that is one of the more fascinating matchups that there's going to be. Is it because I'm 200 pounds that I'm fascinated about the offensive line? Maybe. Big boy watches big boys.
Those are big boys, though.
Those Mac are big trucks. Boys.
Like, that's like 300-400 pound
people. Those are big
people.
Boys.
Mac yeah. trucks.
No,
yes.
I was high school level big boy. I was not big boy. Yeah. In high school, I played on offensive and defensive line. Like, that was just what I did.
Mm-hmm. In the trenches.
I was big boy, but I wasn't big boy. That's why I'm here, not there, you know? That's one of the reasons. The other is
Are you saying you're not on the Denver Broncos?
I'm saying I have no athletic talent. But I'm fascinated with this matchup, though, because even some of the shakier plates with the offensive line from the course of the year, like Osiris Torrance looked like he had a little bit of a step back, but has steadied himself through the second half of the season. He's actually looked very good now. This offensive line had a big question mark entering the year. Mitch Morse left in the offseason, part of the bevy of cuts, where that was, again, them taking their medicine. It tastes awful, but you're going to be better in the end for it, I guess. Mitch Morse was the surprise, though. Mitch Morse was the one that everyone went, wait, hang on, that guy's still viable. Why him?
Mm-hmm.
But what happened instead? The Buffalo Bills just marched on swimmingly. Because Connor McGovern kicks from left guard to center.
Does a phenomenal job.
David Edwards plugs in at the left guard. And here we are. We are looking once again at an offensive line that seemed to have improved from where they were last year.
Yeah, it was like a plug-and-play scenario.
In pass protection. Run blocking, I think they suffered a little bit. But they do still have their moments where they are road graders and they will move people out of the way. For me, it's going to be the Bills' offensive line against the Broncos' defense, strength versus strength. That's my favorite matchup in this game.
It's the gladiators going at it.
It's the strength
exactly
versus strength.
It's the battle in the trenches.
It's underappreciated, but it's also something that both of these teams are elite at. That's the other part. What is the biggest matchup that you're looking at? Could be individual. It could be team-centric. It could be some sort of compartmentalized matchup that you guys are looking at here. Joel, I'll start with you.
So I mentioned Ty Johnson, Keon Coleman. I'm really going to hammer home Keon Coleman because Amari Cooper is most likely going to be matched up with Surtain.
Yes.
Right? So what does that allow? Cornerback two on Keon Coleman, contested catch rate against man coverage. It just seems like that's a match made in heaven at this point, especially his connection with Allen. You know, last week, it was Mitch Trubisky and Mike White playing quarterback. Say what you want. He should have had a couple more catches. You can digest any way you want to. But I think in the playoffs, the wild card, first wild card appearance for him, first playoff appearance for him, he's going to be a difference maker for that Bills offense. Really, really just being their primary deep target and going up and grabbing touchdowns. But I don't know. I really, Keon Coleman's my big man. But on defense, if I had to pick anybody, Terrell Bernard. I think, you know, the way they're going to send the pressure and things like that, he's going to be big in the flat there with the slot receptions, things like that, the running backs for Denver.
In the middle of the field, yep.
Yep, the middle of the field, especially, Milano still isn't Matt Milano. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he's going to start or not. But Dorian Williams is solid as well. But I think Terrell Bernard, as the captain of that defense, is going to really set them up for success. And yeah, the D-line's going to have to play, but give me Terrell Bernard busting up some pass plays and run plays. He's been very good with that all season when he's healthy, and he's fully back to healthy too, so that's good.
Honestly, to extend on that point though too, Denver does not really utilize players that aren't their wide receiver core.
Yeah.
So he's going to be trying to help out Taron Johnson mm-hmm. and the secondary a lot here with slot receivers because that's what they typically go to here. Their leading tight end was Adam Trautman with 188 yards on the season.
Yeah.
The
slot is their safe place, essentially. That's what they like to do.
Yeah, but they don't utilize their tight ends at all.
No.
Like Dawson Knox had 311 this year.
Mm-hmm.
Dalton Kincaid, with a down season and missing a couple games with injury, had 448. So their best tight end had 188 yards. They don't use it. but they will use the middle of the field with slot receivers. So exactly. It's going to be, you're going to have to help out a little bit with the middle of the field.
And he's good in coverage, too.
Based on that.
Yeah. He's not just a tackling linebacker. He's up there picking off plays and everything.
Trev, I'll go to you. What's the matchup you're looking at?
I mean, I'm going to go basic on it. Why don't we just compare the two quarterbacks? Bo Nix is very naive to the playoffs, doesn't really know the atmosphere. Mm-hmm. He's played in Oregon, which, I mean, electric atmosphere. He's gone on some pretty deep runs with the Oregon Ducks, but he's never experienced the NFL playoffs. When you look on the other side, 17, Josh Allen has been in multiple playoff games. He's had the Bills Mafia rallying behind him in those home games. And in those games, Josh Allen, especially in the first round, has really been one of the most electrifying players to ever see on the field. So when you're looking at the two quarterbacks, who's more experienced and who's not, I think it might actually just come down to that. And I know you were mentioning, Joe, Keon Coleman, if Pat Surtain is covering him, who's going to be covering Khalil Shakir? You got to have, you know, locked down defenders to keep those guys down, because when you got 17, and he could also run. Not all, I'm mentioning the, you know, quarterback play. No one's really ever talked, you know, I mean, a lot of people do, but as far as today, Josh Allen could also run. I know that Denver's got that defensive line that's very, very strong, and Derek was talking about that. You were talking about that earlier, but Josh Allen has that ability to run through that defensive line, make plays out of nothing. That could be the difference maker between Bo Nix and Josh Allen in the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah, and part of what I had mentioned with Allen, we talked about this earlier, Joe, was Allen does also do a good job of avoiding sacks on his own right, extending plays, making those opportunities come from nothing.
It's a good matchup.
And that helps a unit allow the least amount of sacks in the league because of that. You know, the offensive line has to do their job. Josh Allen does also make life a little bit harder on defenders when it comes to actually getting those sacks, because, A, he's larger than most quarterbacks are. He's more athletic than most quarterbacks are. And he is...
he's built like a linebacker.
He's,
like,
he's disruptive.
Yeah.
He will create something out of nothing, or he'll extend a play so long that, okay, at the end of it, sure, I have to bury it out of bounds maybe. But typically, he likes to try to find that player that is open, and more times than not, he's hitting them square on the numbers.
And I was going to say, I've been on record for saying Josh Allen is the most dangerous when you get him running towards the right sideline.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Rolling out to the right.
It is unbelievable what that guy can do when you get him just jogging to the right-hand sideline.
He'll take it
all the way across his body.
Yeah. Which, that gave me a mini heart attack.
I mean, it's anxiety-inducing.
Well,
but
yes.
Like, it's also phenomenal to watch.
How do you think he's feeling running to the sideline?
Anxiety-inducing when I saw that play to Coleman against the Jets.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'll forgive him.
You know what I want to throw one last thing in here. Another player. Dawson Knox. Look at the past few wild card games.
Yep. He has been the guy to show off.
He catches the first touchdown in every single one of them.
He had a great game.
Not just the first Bills touchdown, the first touchdown.
That's fascinating. Nice job.
He was great against the Steelers.
Hammer Dawson Knox.
Yeah.
first touchdown scorer for this matchup, I'm telling you. Isn't that crazy,
It's about utilization of the tight ends, though.
I stumbled upon that yesterday.
That is
kind of
crazy.
No way Dawson Knox is actually like the primary opening. And it's not just the Bills' first drive. It's the actual like first drive.
They build the game plan around him.
Yeah.
And it works.
Well, both of the tight ends are very open to receive passes, too. They're both very good at it when asked to do it. So, especially Dawson Knox coming off that wrist injury last year, he's been better this season. So, Dawson drops is no more.
Can
so
we look at maybe a check down to James Cook? Would that
and
be
that
in the playbook,
the running backs, yeah.
And that is
Can
something...
we look at James Cook? Because that... we were mentioning that defensive line with the Broncos.
Yeah, that's something actually Mina Kimes pointed that out yesterday. And if someone knows ball, it's Mina. She points out that the Broncos are one of the more susceptible teams defensively to receiving yards by running backs.
Yes.
So I would imagine Joe Brady's going to have himself cooked up a nice bunch of pre-snap motions, a lot of those designed plays before the snap, trying to create opportunities for a player like a Cook, like Ty Johnson, like Ray Davis, or even Curtis Samuel.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And Khalil Shakir.
You can line him up as a receiver, too.
And you said, you know, if Surtain's on Coleman, what do we do?
Right.
Amari Cooper's still on this team, too.
Yes.
So that's huge.
Yes. There's going to be a lot of things here. But a nice little round table there, Trevor. Appreciate the chipping in here.
Yeah.
We'll get a little bit of Bandits blurb here for you coming up next. Derek Kramer, Joe Kelly, Trevor Hauer here for a brief moment on Sports Talk Saturday. You're listening to WGR.